Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. This week, we will be turning the Pillsbury Doughboy into a D&D character. This is an interesting one because there's not much personality around this guy. He's just kind of dough that gained sentience, probably through some, like, devilish pact or experiment gone wrong. But either way, he doesn't have much backstory or personality, so I kind of have, like, this carte blanche access to do whatever I want with him, which is a lot of fun for me. But a little bit about the Pillsbury Doughboy, because there's some backstory just around his creation, really. Usually, I just look things up on Wikipedia, but for this one, I can get information right from Pillsbury's own website. So the idea for the Pillsbury Doughboy was born on March 18th, 1965. Rudy Purz, a copywriter working on the Pillsbury account for Leo Burnett Advertising Agency in Chicago, came up with the idea for the brand mascot who would pop out of a can of refrigerated dough. Love it. The character, listen to this, was named Poppin' Fresh, a nod to the product's quality and freshness. Poppin' Fresh. The Pillsbury Doughboy's name, God-given, legal name, is Poppin' Fresh, and that is what I want people to call me from now on. That is my nickname now, which makes sense because Pillsbury Doughboy was my nickname in elementary school, so this is a natural evolution of that. I'm just kidding. I wasn't popular enough to have a nickname. Anyway, so for a long time in their advertisements, they used stop-action clay animation. So, you know, like stop motion. It took 24 shots for every 1 second of commercial time. And the initial model cost $16,000 to develop and had 5 bodies and 15 heads in order to create different looks and positioning in the ads. Fortunately, in 1992, CGI kind of replaced the use of that stop motion, but still, so cool. At one point, the Doughboy, Poppin' Fresh, was receiving 200 fan letters a week, and Pillsbury received 1,500 requests for autographed photos. For autographed photos of the Pillsbury Doughboy. I want one. I want an autographed photo from Poppin' Fresh. That's awesome. Okay. The site also, fortunately, has some fun facts about the Doughboy, such as how big is he? Poppin' Fresh is 8¾ inches tall with his hat and weighs 14 ounces. That's hilarious. The Doughboy has starred in more than 600 ads for 50 products. In 2009, Poppin' Fresh made his debut as a balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I love this. Poppin' Fresh. That's his name. And also, there's a whole Poppin' Fresh family, because you can't just have a lone wolf. You gotta give him a family, right? In 1972, Poppin' Fresh was introduced as a 7-inch vinyl doll, which quickly became one of the fastest-selling toys in the US. Of course, we love our advertisements. And the following year, a companion doll, Poppy Fresh, was released, followed by Grandmommer and Grandpopper, Uncle Rolly, a son named Popper, a daughter, Bun Bun, and Flapjack and Biscuit, the Fresh family's dog and cat. So, it's Poppin' Fresh and his wife, his parents, his children, and his dog and cat. A whole Poppin' Fresh family. Oh, that's fun. So that's pretty much the information that I have available. I know he giggles when you poke his tummy and like, same. So I think my idea for this Pillsbury Doughboy is gonna be, you know, I usually go into like a cryptid kind of mode where I'm like, they're the supernatural beast. I think I'm just gonna make him a himbo, right? Just like really hot and really dumb. Because when I see the Pillsbury Doughboy, I see the potential for like Pillsbury Daddy, you know? And I'm not really a fan of using daddy for sexual terms every time it happens. I just think Freud would love this, and I don't really like Freud. That's neither here nor there. I'm just gonna get into it. I don't know why I'm justifying my actions. You get it. So anyway, Pillsbury Doughboy, let's decide on his background. If I'm making Poppin' Fresh a himbo, I think I'm going to go with the athlete background. So he's going to gain skill proficiencies in acrobatics and athletics. Perfect. Tool proficiencies in land vehicles. Yeah, perfect. And a language of his choice. I love that. Okay. Nailing it so far. Now let's go on to race. What's the most himbo race? Right? Can we even decide that? I'm thinking maybe like Bugbear or Minotaur. Someone who you know has abs, even if you can't really see their abs. Ooh, what about a Firbolg? Stupid sexy Firbolg, yes. And I know, like, he's a little thing. I did say he's 8¾ inches tall with his hat. But for this kind of reimagining of him as a sexy, muscular dough man, I think I might go orc. Yeah, let's make him an orc. And totally not because in one of my campaigns, I introduced one of my character's brothers who is an orc, and he's, like, very good looking. It doesn't matter. So an orc. So as an orc, he's going to get a +2 to strength and a +1 to constitution. Awesome. He's going to have dark vision, so that's out to 60 feet. He has the aggressive ability, so as a bonus action, he can move up to his speed towards an enemy of his choice that he can see or hear. And he has to end this move closer to the enemy than he started. So that's pretty awesome. Just a bonus action. He can just sprint towards someone. That's cool. He's going to have primal intuition to gain proficiency in 2 of the following skills of his choice. Animal handling, insight, intimidation, medicine, nature, perception, and survival. And I think I'm going to go with intimidation and survival for this. With powerful build, he's going to count as 1 size larger when determining your carrying capacity and the weight you can push, drag, or lift. So you know he's jacked. And languages, he can speak, read, and write common and orc. And also one additional language from his athlete background. So let's see, common, orc, and... see, what do I think of when I think of orcs? How about draconic? I think Poppin' Fresh is friends with some dragons. Why not? Okay, now that we have his background athlete and his race orc, we can roll for stats. So that's when we take a d6, a 6-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 to get 1 of his 6 ability scores. So we're going to do that now. Okay, so I rolled for Poppin' Fresh, and he didn't do too bad here. I've had a couple episodes in a row where I rolled terribly, but we got 16, 16, 9, 12, 12, and 11. So really not bad. It was touch and go there for a moment. The first roll on the first 3 ability scores was a 1, but then the other numbers were a bit higher. Not so much for the 9. Anyway, so we have those now. Let's put them where we think they should go. So I'm thinking he's ripped. So I'm going to put that 16 into strength. That gets a +2 from him being an orc. So that's going to just automatically become an 18, which is a +4 modifier. Poppin' yes. Am I right? okay, 16. Let's put that into constitution. So a 16 constitution, he gets a +1 from being an orc. So that's going to be a 17, which is a +3 modifier. Awesome. Next highest, we have 2 12s. I'm going to do 12 to dexterity. And a 12 to charisma. Those will both be +1 modifiers, so +1 dexterity modifier, +1 charisma modifier. Next we have 11. I'm gonna do 11 in wisdom. That's a +0. And then that 9 is going to go into intelligence, which is a -1. Which is kind of how I wanted things to work out anyway. I was hoping he would get a negative, so I could put it into intelligence to really get those himbo vibes. For those of you who don't know what a himbo is, it's just a portmanteau of the words him and bimbo. So it's like the male version of a bimbo. And it's a slang term for a man who is attractive but unintelligent. And that's what I think the Pillsbury Doughboy is. Very sexy, very dumb. And I think we can all agree on that, right? Not the little guy that we know, but the big sexy mega babe that we are creating currently. So starting stats, pretty good. 18 strength, 12 dexterity, 17 constitution, 9 intelligence, 11 wisdom, and 12 charisma. Okay, cool, now that we have all of that squared away, background, athlete, race, orc, we can pick a class for him. So every episode, I multi-class at least once. I've kind of moved out of my comfort zone a little bit, and a few people have 3 classes. I think for Rasputin I did 4 or something ridiculous like that. But I recently received an email asking if I would be willing to forego multi-classing. I thought, yeah, okay, that's fine. Multi-classing is fun. It has a lot of benefits, but there are some downsides too, because you miss out on those higher level class abilities. That being said, some of those higher level class abilities are bad. They're straight up bad. So in order to just do a single class, I wanted to look and see what class actually has a good 20th level ability, because some of them are lackluster. And part of me likes that, because it incentivizes you to multi-class, and I think there can be so many fun combinations when you do that. So for example of some bad 20th level classes, 20th level, the highest you can go. For bards, I'm sure as you all know, my favorite class, their 20th level ability is terrible. When you roll initiative and have no uses of bardic inspiration left, you regain 1 use. Cool, I'm sure that my 1 use of cutting words will be really effective against this Tarrasque that I'm fighting. For monk, when you roll for initiative and have no key points remaining, you regain 4 key points. That's it. At 20th level, you have 20 key points, but hey, you can start your battle with 4. Isn't that helpful? So I'm looking for one that has a good 20th level ability, and if I want Poppin' Fresh to be this bomb-ass himbo, I'm thinking Barbarian, okay? I'm not going to tell you what their 20th level ability is, because for the first time on Fantasize Me, this is my 40th character I've created, but for the first time, we are going to see a 20th level class ability. Let's get into it. First level Barbarian. Poppin' Fresh is going to have proficiencies in light armor, medium armor, and shields, with simple weapons and martial weapons, with strength and constitution saving throws. Perfect, those are his 2 best skills. At first level, proficiency bonus is +2, so that's going to be +6 to strength saving throws and +5 to constitution saving throws. He can also choose 2 skills to be proficient in, from animal handling, athletics, intimidation, nature, perception, and survival. I think perception may be the most useful skill, but I don't want to give him proficiency in it. I don't think that's on brand for this brand, you know? So I'm going to go with animal handling and nature. That's fun for me because animal handling, Poppin' Fresh does have a dog and a cat, and nature, because you know he goes camping and fly fishing and does other classically heteronormative activities. As a first level barbarian, he has rage. I love this. So as a bonus action, he can just enter a rage. And while he's raging, he's going to gain the following benefits if he's not wearing heavy armor. He's going to have advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws. When he makes a melee weapon attack using strength, he's going to gain a +2 bonus to the damage roll. And this bonus is going to increase as he levels. And he's going to have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. That's so cool. That's such an awesome ability because they have the most hit points out of any class, but they usually don't have a very good armor class. So having resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing right off the bat while you're raging is such a cool ability. Speaking of armor class, he's going to have unarmored defense. So while he's not wearing any armor, his armor class equals 10 plus his dexterity modifier plus his constitution modifier. And he can use a shield and still gain this benefit, but my idea of Poppin' Fresh as just a classic barbarian wielding a great axe, you know, no shield in sight, no clothes in sight, because he's got that unarmored defense, And if you look at the Pillsbury Doughboy, he's pretty much just got an ascot on. So I'm imagining this, you know, 6'4" Lothario with just an ascot and nothing else. Because that's fun for me, and also, let me have this. Okay? So that means his armor class is going to be 10, plus his dexterity modifier, which is 1, plus his constitution modifier, which is 3. So 10 plus 1 plus 3 is 14. So that's actually not terrible for a first level character to have a 14 armor class. That's okay. I don't know if it's going to improve much as we level him, but it might. Second level barbarian, he gains danger sense. Oh, wait, I just realized I don't have to say second level barbarian because I'm not multiclassing. You don't have to know what class I'm taking the level in because you know it's all barbarian. That's weird. Okay, so second level, he gets danger sense. This is also such an awesome ability to get at second level. So he's going to have advantage on dexterity saving throws against effects that he can see, such as like traps he's triggered that he can see, spells that he can see being cast at him. He's going to have advantage on those dexterity saving throws. To gain this benefit, he can't be blinded, deafened, or incapacitated. But say he sees someone like casting wall of fire on him, he can just do a sick backflip, roll with advantage. Also at second level, he gains reckless attack. So when he makes his first attack on his turn, he can decide to attack recklessly. Doing so will give him advantage on melee weapon attack rolls using strength during this turn, but attack rolls against him will have advantage until his next turn. So this is really cool. He can just attack with advantage whenever he wants, essentially. The downside is all attacks against him will have advantage. But I think he'll risk it to get the biscuit. Oh... I'm lonely. Third level, he's gonna pick his primal path. This is the barbarian subclass, and I'm thinking, what is fitting for the Pillsbury Doughboy? You know, what path will this barbarian walk down? I think I'm gonna go with Path of the Zealot, because, okay, hear me out. He is a mascot for a brand. Is he not a zealot of Pillsbury? Right? Does that track? Doesn't matter if you think so or not, because that's what I'm doing. Path of the Zealot, he gains the ability Divine Fury. So while he's raging, the first creature he hits on each of his turns with a weapon attack is going to take extra damage equal to 1d6 plus half his barbarian level. In D&D, pretty much everything is rounded down unless they specify otherwise. So it's going to be 1d6 plus 1 at the moment. And the extra damage is going to be necrotic or radiant. And he's going to choose the type of damage when he gains this feature. So obviously we're going to go radiant. He's going to toast them buns with that radiant light, yes. He also gains the ability Warrior of the Gods. So if a spell, such as Raise Dead, has the sole effect of restoring him to life, but not undeath, the caster doesn't need material components to cast the spell on you. I mean, how cool is that? Like, I don't have my players keep track of their components. That's ridiculous. They're all... Spell components are some of the most ridiculous things. Like, every time my player wants to cast Fireball, they have to just pull out some bat guano. No, just cast Fireball. It's fine. You're a sorcerer. One thing I do make sure they keep track of is Revivify, because it's just such a powerful spell. There has to be some cost to it. But with this, if someone is just trying to return him to life, they don't need those material components. If someone goes to cast Revivify on him, they can just do it, which is so cool. The Pillsbury Doughboy will rise. Oh my god. I'm feeling it, yes. Okay, fourth level for Barbarian, an ability score improvement. So we can increase one ability score of his choice by 2, or we can increase 2 ability scores of his choice by 1. Or we can give him a feat, which is like a special ability. But I think for now, let's just max out his strength, bump that up to a 20, which is a plus 5 modifier. Perfect, I love it. Fifth level, he gains fast movement, so his speed is going to increase by 10 feet while he's not wearing heavy armor. And as I mentioned before, he's only wearing an ascot and nothing else. So his speed is now 40 feet. And he also gets extra attack. So it's just what it sounds like. He can attack twice instead of once whenever he takes the attack action on his turn. So this is great because I mentioned I envision him with a great axe. He has +5 to strength, proficiency bonus at 5th level went up to +3. So he's going to have +8 to his attack rolls. He can attack twice, and his great axe is going to do 1d12 +7 because he gets a +2 bonus damage while he's raging. Plus, the first attack is going to do 1d6 +2 radiant damage from his Divine Fury ability. So he's already going to be pouring on damage at 5th level. Love that for this himbo. 6th level, he gets a path feature from Zealot called Fanatical Focus. And I think this is a shit ability, but it's fine. If he fails a saving throw while he's raging, he can re-roll it and he has to use the new roll. That's okay. But he can only use this ability once per rage. That's not a great ability if you think about it, right? He's going to be making a lot of saving throws at 6th level. I'm sure enemies are going to be subjecting him to a lot of effects. He's got to make a lot of saving throws. He can re-roll one of them. It's like the freaking Indomitable ability from Fighter. I hate that ability. It's so bad. And it's like, I'm not going to get into it. He's not a fighter. He's a barbarian. Everything's fine. Let's move on to 7th level. He gains Feral Instinct. This is an awesome ability. He's now going to have advantage on initiative rolls. Additionally, if he's surprised at the beginning of combat and he's not incapacitated, he can act normally on his first turn, but only if he enters his rage before doing anything else on that turn. So if you sneak up on Pop and Fresh, he might flip out and attack you. Which is fine, you know, nothing's wrong with a little aggression as long as it's consensual, right? 8th level, ability score improvement. I think we should bump that constitution to a 19. Why not? So that 19 constitution is a +4 modifier. And what's cool is constitution helps to determine your hit points. And since he gained another constitution modifier, his hit points are increased retroactively. So he's an 8th level barbarian. He now just automatically gains an additional 8 hit points. Which is really great for barbarians because while he's raging, he has resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. So those 8 hit points have the potential to act the same as 16 hit points would. 9th level, Poppin' Fresh gains Brutal Critical. So now he can roll one additional weapon damage die when determining the extra damage for a critical hit with a melee attack. So a critical hit is when you roll a nat 20, a 20 on the die, and you double the amount of dice you roll. So before this, if he got a critical, he would roll 2d12, twice his great axe's die. But now he rolls an additional one, so it'll be 3d12. And remember, because of reckless attack, he can attack with advantage, essentially doubling his chance to get a crit and using this brutal critical ability. I love that for him. So cool. Slice and dice, baby. Yeah. 10th level, that is another path feature from Path of the Zealot called Zealous Presence. So now as a bonus action, he can unleash a battle cry infused with divine biscuit-scented energy. Up to 10 other creatures of his choice within 60 feet of him that can hear him gain advantage on attack rolls and saving throws until the start of his next turn. And once he uses this feature, he can't use it again until he finishes a long rest. I think this is an okay ability. Essentially, for one round of combat, you can give all of your allies advantage on attack rolls and saving throws. That's pretty cool. It's not great, but that can definitely turn the tide of battle, which I think actually is great. So I take that back. That's a pretty cool ability, Zealous Presence. It's fun to say too, Zealous Presence. Maybe it's not fun to say. I don't know. You try saying it and get back to me. Anyway, 11th level, that is Relentless Rage. So if Poppin' Fresh drops to 0 hit points while he's raging and he doesn't die outright, he can make a DC 10 Constitution saving throw. And if he succeeds, he's going to drop to 1 hit point instead. Each time he uses this feature after the first, the DC is going to increase by 5. So if he succeeds on that first DC 10 constitution saving throw, it's then going to be a DC 15 constitution saving throw. If he succeeds on that, it's going to be DC 20 constitution saving throw, and so on. but right now, at 9th level, his proficiency bonus went up to plus 4. He has a plus 4 in constitution now, so he has plus 8 to his constitution saving throws. For that first use of Relentless Rage, he can't roll a 1 or a 2 to succeed on it. Even the second one with a DC 15, he just has to roll a 7 or higher, and I think that's totally doable for him. 12th level, that is another ability score improvement. I'm thinking let's max out constitution to 20. So that's a plus 5 modifier because we used 1 point to bump that 19 to a 20, but we still have a remaining 1 point. So I'm going to put it into, let's see, if I put it into wisdom, then his wisdom will change to a plus 1. I don't know if I want him to actually have a positive modifier in wisdom. I kind of like him being at a 0 there. So I'm just going to put it into dexterity, which bumps that 12 to a 13. That doesn't change the modifier. And if I weren't doing this for a podcast, I would definitely recommend not doing that because I essentially just kind of wasted that point. Maybe I can find a way as he levels to kind of make that worth it. But for now, yeah, he has 13 dexterity. Again, we increase his constitution and hit points are added retroactively. He's now 12th level, so he's going to gain an additional 12 hit points. Beautiful, poppin' fresh. 13th level, he gains brutal critical 2 dice. So now when he scores a critical hit, he can roll 2 additional weapon damage dice when determining the extra damage. So if he crits with his great axe, he's now going to roll 4d12 damage. 14th level barbarian, he gets his final path feature from the Path of the Zealot called Rage Beyond Death. And I love this ability, it's really cool. So while he's raging, if he's reduced to 0 hit points, he doesn't become unconscious. Normally, if you're reduced to 0, you fall unconscious and start making death saving throws. He does not fall unconscious. He's still going to make those death saving throws as normal, and he's going to suffer the normal effects of taking damage while at 0 hit points. However, if he would die due to failing death saving throws, he doesn't die until his rage ends. And he dies then only if he still has 0 hit points. So if he goes down to 0 hit points, he can just keep fighting as if nothing happened, making those death saving throws. And even if he fails all 3 death saving throws, he can keep fighting as if nothing happened. And then once his rage ends, he's only going to die if no one healed him in all that time. But it would make so much sense to heal him because then he could just do cool shit like keep raging even though he's technically dead. That's really cool, poppin' fresh. Just like yeast, he keeps rising. Did I already make a rising joke? I don't remember. It's fine, I can make more than one. It's Pillsbury, you get it. 15th level, persistent rage. Now his rage is so fierce that it ends early only if he falls unconscious or if he chooses to end it. So normally while he's raging, it just lasts for 1 minute. And it ends early if he's knocked unconscious, if his turn ends and he hasn't attacked a hostile creature since his last turn or taken damage since then. But now with persistent rage, it's only gonna end early if he falls unconscious. So he could activate his rage and avoid taking damage for a minute and not attack anyone for a minute, and it's still gonna keep going. He's just so angry, but I think I can fix him. 16th level, another ability score improvement. I think we're going to give him a feat. And this, I think I've done this multiple times in this podcast, but I am going to give him the Great Weapon Master feat because it just works so well if you're using a heavy weapon, which a great axe is. So on his turn, when he scores a critical hit with a melee weapon or reduces a creature to 0 hit points with one, he can make one melee weapon attack as a bonus action. This is awesome because of Reckless Attack, he has 4 chances to crit, which means 4 chances to make a third attack as a bonus action, which he might also crit on. The second ability, before he makes a melee attack with a heavy weapon that he's proficient with, he can choose to take a minus 5 penalty to the attack roll. And if the attack hits, it's going to do an additional 10 damage automatically. So at this point, he is a 16th level character. His proficiency bonus is +5. It's going to go up next level. So 5 proficiency, 5 strength. He's going to have a +10 to his attack rolls. If he takes a -5, that's only a +5 to attack rolls. But with reckless attack, he's going to be attacking with advantage. So it's only a +5 to attack, but with advantage. And if he hits, it's just an automatic 10 damage extra. That's so cool. He's really going to butter their biscuits. Is that a saying? I'm pretty sure it's a saying. Butter my biscuit, big boy. If I were to ever meet the Pillsbury Doughboy, that's what I would say to him. Butter my biscuit, big boy. That's definitely fun to say. Try it. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, try saying butter my biscuit, big boy. No, don't. Maybe do. Anyway, 17th level. His proficiency bonus goes up to +6, but now with his brutal critical, he now has 3 additional weapon damage dice that he rolls when he gets a crit. So if he gets a critical hit with his great axe, that's going to be 5d12 damage. Just with the weapon, that's not factoring in any damage modifiers or anything, just 5d12 from the crit. 18th level, he gains Indomitable Might. So if his total for a strength check is less than his strength score, he can use that score in place of the total. So say he makes a strength check and he only gets a 15. So he rolls a 10, he has +5 to strength, he only gets a 15. He can just use his 20 strength instead and just say that it's a 20. That's really cool. I think he's going to succeed on most strength throws using this ability because 20 is very high. 19th level, I think this is the highest I've ever gone in a class. I think I've done 18th before, but 19th level in this one class, that's another ability score improvement. So let's see, what should the Pillsbury Doughboy have? Like what actually makes sense for him? Because right now I've just made a sexy barbarian, just this pasty white himbo of a man. So what makes sense for the Pillsbury Doughboy? Ooh, okay. I'm gonna do Gourmand. This says he can increase his constitution score by 1 to a maximum of 20. His constitution is already maxed, so I'm gonna tweak things a little bit. I'm going to say that last ability score improvement, we just bumped his dexterity from a 12 to a 14. So his constitution would have still been a 19, and this constitution score increase would have bumped it up to that 20 that we wanted. So the reason I'm doing that is, one, I don't want to have wasted that 1 point from that ability score improvement, and now his dexterity went from a +1 to a +2, and two, I would have allowed my player to do that as well. I like to think that I'm a very lenient DM when it comes to, I think, most things. But anyway, so his constitution score increased. He's also going to gain proficiency with cook's utensils. As an action, he can inspect a drink or plate of food within 5 feet of him and determine whether it is poisoned, provided that he can see and smell it. And I think it makes sense for the Pillsbury Doughboy to know a bit about food, you know? He's been doing it for, what, 57 years now or something? During a long rest, Poppinfresh can prepare and serve a meal that helps him and his allies recover from the rigors of adventuring. The meal is going to serve up to 6 people, and each person who eats it regains 2 additional hit dice at the end of the long rest. In addition, those who partake of the meal are going to have advantage on constitution saving throws against disease for the next 24 hours. So that's really cool. After a long rest, you regain all of your hit dice, but now you can have just 2 extra for whatever you want. You know, if you get a little injured, just take a short rest and expend one of them. Get back to full health. Why not? You can just get more during a long rest. More of Poppin' Fresh's hot biscuits. Some of his buttery croissant, you know? But also that advantage on constitution saving throws against disease is pretty cool, because having a character get diseased sounds terrible. It hasn't happened to any of my players. It almost did, but one of them just kept succeeding on her constitution saving throws. Otherwise, she was going to rot from the inside out. So glad she managed that. But boom, now he has Gourmand. I'm realizing that I have kind of just made Kronk from The Emperor's New Groove, which is fine, because when I think himbo, I do think Kronk from The Emperor's New Groove. And now, here it is, the final level, 20th level in Barbarian. I picked Barbarian because I think their 20th level ability is so cool and so perfect for a 20th level Barbarian. All that happens now, his strength and constitution scores increase by 4 to a maximum of 24. Normally, the maximum is only 20, but as a 20th level Barbarian, he can just surpass that. That means he has 24 strength and 24 constitution. Those are both plus 7 modifiers. I also wanted to go with Barbarian because this is the first time that we've ever gone beyond that maximum threshold of 20. Now, 24, that's plus 7 to strength, plus 7 to constitution. Hit points are added retroactively. I'm saying that for a third time. He just gained 2 extra modifiers for constitution, and he's a 20th level barbarian, so he's automatically going to gain an additional 40 hit points. That's so cool. I think that's so fun. I was also thinking of cleric because their 20th level ability is essentially they can just have God intervene for them. But I didn't think that really fit Poppin' Fresh, because he's super mega foxy awesome hot. Let me know if you get that reference. But there you have it. That's Poppin' Fresh. That is the Pillsbury Doughboy. Okay, so Poppin' Fresh, the Pillsbury Himbo. We have background athlete, race orc. He is a level 20 Path of the Zealot Barbarian. The first time in Fantasize Me history that I have done 20 levels in one class as per an email suggestion. So thank you so much for that. That was a lot of fun. Ending stats, we have 24 strength, 14 dexterity, 24 constitution, 9 intelligence, 11 wisdom, and 12 charisma. Oh, that's wild. I love it, Poppin' Fresh. Skills, he has plus 8 to acrobatics, plus 6 to animal handling, plus 13 to athletics, plus 7 to intimidation, plus 5 to nature, and plus 6 to survival. Saving throws, he has plus 13 to strength saving throws and plus 13 to constitution saving throws. And remember, when he's raging, he's going to have advantage on those strength saving throws. When is he ever gonna fail? And also, with his relentless rage, he has to make a DC 10 constitution saving throw the first time he drops to 0 hit points. He has a plus 13 to that. So, chances are, he's gonna keep going. And even if he goes down, he's a Path of the Zealot Barbarian. So, because of his rage beyond death, even if he does drop to 0 hit points, he can just keep raging. Who's gonna stop him? No one is gonna stop him. Languages, he is Common, Orc, and Draconic. Tool proficiencies, land vehicles, and cook's utensils so he can make nice treats for all of his friends, some cinnamon buns maybe. Feats, he has Great Weapon Master to do some extra damage with that great axe or potentially even attack a third time. And Gourmand, again, for those sweet treats. So my idea of the Pillsbury Doughboy, okay? So Poppin' Fresh was just this mild-mannered dough salesman, okay? 8 3/4 inches with his hat. He's driving home after a long day of work peddling dough. His numbers are down and his ass is on the chopping block. He goes home to a wife that doesn't make eye contact with him, kids that would rather be on their phones than interacting with their dear old pop. Even his cat and dog would prefer to be in their crates rather than in his presence. What is he to do? Well, I'll tell you what he's to do. He starts hitting the gym. Okay? He starts getting absolutely shredded. He just starts just snorting protein powder, essentially. And in this case, it's yeast, because sure. So he has all this yeast in his body, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna get a tan. I'm gonna go to the tanning salon and get this pasty white body a little browned. So he goes under the UV lights, and he falls asleep. When he wakes up, unbeknownst to him, the yeast in his body, agitated by all this heat, has transformed him from the Pillsbury Doughboy into the Pillsbury Himbo. He's now 6'9", 250 pounds of pure muscle. And what's the first thing he does? Go on a rampage, of course. He goes to his employers, who are constantly belittling him, and he takes them out. It's fine. Don't feel bad for them. They were very anti-union. So he takes them out and goes on this just big-ass rampage. He finds an axe. I don't know where he finds it, but he goes, his ex-employers send all of these assassins after him. He takes his family and flees. He's pushed into this huge superhero epic, because why not? It's poppin' fresh. Of course he's gonna get up to some shenanigans like this. At one point, he's surrounded on top of a skyscraper. He's surrounded by all of these mercenaries. Their attacks have a hard time hitting him, even though he's completely naked, save for an ascot. Because of his unarmored defense, he has an armor class equal to 10 plus his dexterity plus his constitution, which means his armor class, while he's naked, is 19. That is higher than a lot of classes using armor and a shield. It's just 19, naturally. His skin is perfectly bronzed and flaky in all the right places. They keep hitting him and hitting him. He's just attacking with everything he's got, attacking recklessly every time, because why wouldn't he? If he uses his great weapon master, he's gonna have plus 8 to the attack roll anyway, because he takes a minus 5 penalty. And if he hits, he's gonna deal 1d12 plus 21 damage. And because of his divine fury, the first attack on each of his turns is gonna deal an additional 1d6 plus 10 radiant damage. So 1d12 plus 1d6 plus 31. And that's not even if he crits. If he does crit on his first attack, that's going to be 5d12 plus 2d6 plus 31. Or an average of, what, 70 damage? I think? Holy shit, is that right? Yeah, I think that is 70 damage from his first attack. He still has another one. If he uses Great Weapon Master again, that could be another 1d12 plus 21 damage, or an average of 27 damage. He could be doing 100 damage a turn if he happens to crit. And if he does crit, he can attack again as a bonus action. Oh my god. Call him a whisk, because he is beating them up. That was a stretch. Maybe if I said, like, are they eggs and he's a whisk? Because he's really beating them. They're getting beaten. Anyway. Also, if he gets down to 0 hit points, he can just make a constitution saving throw to stay up. And he has a plus 13 to that constitution saving throw. So he can just keep doing that until he fails and his hit points go to 0. But then he can just keep going, because he has his rage beyond death, to just keep fighting. Pillsbury Doughboy, an unkillable, sexy force, equal parts strong and dashing as he is stupid. And I truly love that for our sexy little Poppin' Fresh. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. It was an interesting one for me, because on top of the not having too much to work with, just kind of this blank dough to sculpt, you know, I was doing the challenge of not multiclassing, which I did have fun with, so I might revisit that. I don't know. I mean, never say never. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at FantasizeMePod. Email in those character suggestions to fantasizemepod@gmail.com. And the email that I got saying that I shouldn't multiclass, they didn't even give me a character suggestion. So you can email in other challenges too that you would like to see me undertake and potentially butcher. Or should I say baker? Wow, I got a million of these and they're all terrible. On a more serious note, on my Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/fantasizeme, I now have commissions to raise funds for Ukraine. So proceeds from my commissions will go to the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund. What I'm doing is I'm creating custom stat blocks for NPCs people want, for monsters, for villains, and I'm also making PCs as well. So say someone has a one-shot coming up and they have to make a 12th level character, but they don't want to go through all of that, I'll essentially just write out a big cheat sheet for them that has all of their class abilities, all of their stats. I can pick their proficiencies, whatever I think would be best for them. And if you're listening to this podcast, you know that I think I'm pretty good at making characters. So if you want me to make you a character, I fully can. So check out those commissions on ko-fi.com/fantasizeme to help me raise money for the Ukraine Crisis Relief Fund. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me, and we will do this again next week. Bye!